Trey.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm great. We're back for another episode of Kicks and Flicks 2. On today's episode, we get to talk to our good friend JD and catch up with him, and we talk basically everything with him.
Yeah, that was one of the most fun times I've had on the show. That was really dope.
That's good.
That was really cool.
Yeah, we had a great time talking to JD, and hopefully you guys like the interview with him.
Yeah. See you then.
Bitch, you thirsty, please grab Sprite.
Okay, there we go. All right, we're here with our homie from way back, man. James Daniel Vallet.
Let him introduce himself.
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah.
Appreciate it. Yeah, James Daniel Vallet, JD to some. James Daniel Vallet. Thankful to be here.
The few, the proud.
Sorry, I apologize. I interrupted. So, JD, tell us what you're doing right now.
So I live out in the DC area. I lived in DC proper last year. I moved out to the suburbs this year. I'm teaching. I graduate with my master's in a couple months in education, and just, you know, I've been teaching fifth grade English and math to the kids of Southeast DC.
That's crazy.
Wow, that's insane. JD, that's so cool.
Yeah, man, it's been great.
What's been your favorite part about the job so far?
The connections that you make with the kids, I think, is like that's the reason why I do what I do. I think everybody has a why for why they go into education, why they teach. For me, it's being able to create meaningful relationships with students and with kids, and to do whatever I can to set them up for success moving forward in their lives.
That's a great answer.
Are you reading off a teleprompter?
We want to talk about poetry.
Man, I've had to practice that a whole lot of times because I work within my organization. I work as an ambassador, so I've had plenty of phone calls with people, and they always ask, you know, why do you do what you do? So it's kind of like a script at this point, but definitely still rings true. And yeah, man, it's been a ride for sure. COVID has messed a lot of it up, but
yeah, that's what I was gonna say, because like you talked about, the best part of teaching has to be that relationship you build with your kids, kind of like RA stuff. Like, it's just being able to just resonate with different, like, the kids who look up to you as a role model and stuff. So like over Zoom, you just, so much of that is taken away from you, you know. Like, how is there, like, you're a little bit into it now in the process, so like, is there a way that you've tried to get around that, or like, how has that been for you?
Yeah, for sure. I'm actually back in the building now.
Okay.
I started a couple weeks ago, about three weeks ago, back in the building. So with the social distance and all that in the building, it's still like, it's so much better to be able to see my kids and be able to interact with my kids in person, right? But virtually, man, it was like, it was tough. Like it's really tough to build those connections and to have these kids want to sign into your class in the morning. Cause it's like, you think about it, right? Logistically, it's like, oh, well, we'll just move classes online. But when you're dealing with 9-year-olds, and 10-year-olds and 11-year-olds, it's like, bro, they're not gonna sign in. You know, like
they're not staring at a screen for 6 hours to learn about.
There's no way.
Actions, you know what I'm saying? Like,
exactly.
Blame them?
No, I don't log in for my Zoom, so I can't blame.
I don't. I don't the class. They give me the class. I don't know, but yeah, it's just like I internalize the idea and the concept of like, be the reason they want to sign in. You know what I'm saying? Like, even if, like, with virtual learning, the whole point of it is to limit the loss, right? We're not looking at virtual learning as like a system that's conducive to having kids grow a lot and have kids develop a lot. Like, that's not realistic, because it's new to everybody, it's different, and it's just not as effective as in-person learning, right? But at the very least, we want to minimize what they're losing, right? And making sure that we're giving them daily practice and the things that they need to be able to do when we're back in the building. So that gets really boring. And it's tough to teach lessons that are exciting and involve kids and things like that virtually. So really just, whether it's showing a YouTube video, whether it's doing a Kahoot, whatever you got to do to make it so that, like, some kids, not all, because not all kids are going to like you anyway, but having those relationships where some kids are like, oh, I got to be up by 8:30 because I got Mr. Valley's class
time. Yeah. That's salvage, like, what you can salvage for sure.
Exactly.
So a little background we didn't really introduce. JD went to Gonzaga with us and graduated in 2019. Talk a little bit about, because I'm a senior about to graduate, so talk a little bit about that process of about to graduate to I need a job to like that post-grad transition.
Yeah, man. So long ago for me, man. No, I'm playing. I remember senior year, I remember that being like just not knowing what I was doing, and having a lot of people around me that did know what they were doing was definitely stressful and definitely something that, you know, is just like, you don't ever want to be the one that doesn't know what they're doing next.
For,
you know,
sure.
Like, out of the homies, like you don't want to be the last one. And yeah. To be fair, like obviously if your homies is the right ones, then they're the ones backing you up and letting you know that you are going to find something that, you know, that you're believed in. But I was thankful for the fact that this opportunity kind of fell in my lap, and just thankful for, you know, the opportunity to kind of prove myself. I felt like at my time at Gonzaga, there were some things that I accomplished, and then there were a lot of things that maybe I left the door open on, and I didn't do as well as I should have or as well as I was capable of. And just kind of the opportunity to start fresh and do something new was definitely cool. And in general, that post-grad life, that first couple of months is exciting, because it's like, as much as we say, you know, like college is you figuring out who you are, I feel like so much of that starts post-grad. So much of that is, man, like I'm really out here by myself. I'm a whole adult type thing.
Yeah, like you're an adult.
Gosh, yeah.
Like, it's not, oh, I'm not a college kid no more. It's like, I'm a functioning member of society for some reason.
Tax-paying adult, yeah.
Yeah, I pay taxes. Yeah, yeah, so that piece of it, I'm excited for you to experience that, man, because it's, that post-grad is, that first couple months hits you like a brick, for sure, but it's cool.
Okay, so JD, I'd say the entire time that I've known you, you've always given good advice. And so we have a little, like, I don't know.
Don't lie.
We have a little, like, advice column almost that we do, and we read Am I the Asshole readings. Do you know what that is by chance?
Buddy, I'm not fan number one, bro. I've been on every single podcast. I've been laughing with you. I know.
Perfect. Okay, so I'm going to read you. We're going to do two scenarios. So let me read them first, and then we'll talk about them, okay?
Sure.
All right, so the first one, a bit of backstory. I live with my grandma, aunt, and two cousins.
Yuck.
I've started to become increasingly concerned about the health of my youngest cousin. She's a 7-year-old girl. My aunt has no regard for teaching her healthy habits. I love my little cousin. I do not want to make her feel insecure or as though I am shaming her. I am genuinely just worried about her. She is 7 and weighs 130 pounds. I only know that because my aunt and I took her to the doctors not long ago. I tried to introduce active play to my cousin, encourage her to ride her bike or jump on the trampoline, but she is so enticed by her stupid iPad. My aunt seems to have no regard for the permanent damage she's doing to her daughter. She's constantly buying my cousin fast food, junk food, candy, soda, Gatorade, etc. Last week, when the Arctic hit Texas and the roads were closed, my little cousin literally lost her shit because the food we had at home wasn't to her liking, meaning it wasn't very sugary. She also cried because all we had to drink was water and it tasted bad to her. This made me livid. I don't know what to do or if I even have the right to do so or say anything at all. Am I the asshole if I'm the cousin that brings it up?
Mm. Okay.
See, you work with kids, so that's why I picked this one out. I'm very curious to see what you're going to say.
Man, y'all dropped a bomb on me. That's crazy. So hold on. So it's the person, it's the grandma, it's the cousin, and then the cousin's daughter?
Yeah. It's the grandma, the aunt, and the two cousins.
Got you. Okay. Ah. Man. That's a tough one, cuz it's like healthy habits is an important thing to foster in the youth, and when you said 130 at 7 years old, bro, that's
a big kid.
I was 130 my sophomore year of high school. I was 6'2", 130 at 16 years old, and she's 7 years old beating my ass probably.
He was built like Chet Holmgren. That's crazy.
low key. But man, it's like healthy habits are important, right? Like 130 at 7 years old isn't sustainable at all. Yeah. You're an asshole if you bring it up in the wrong way. It's wrong ways to bring that up.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah. You could definitely, like, you're not going to shame a 7 year old, but you got to talk to the parents because it's like, okay, I need to explain this well. But my statement is, I hate fat kids.
Yes, you said that before.
But I don't hate them. I hate what they represent, bro, because it's not the fault. I hate the parents who allow their kids to be 7 years old weighing 130 because, like, self-esteem is such a big deal for kids and, like, to grow up as a functioning tax-paying adult like we've been talking about. Got to have self-esteem. And, like, if you're letting your kid walk around, like, take him to the park.
You're right. I agree.
Go in a jungle gym.
There's a lot of other stuff you can do.
Introduce them to fruit and vegetables. You know what I'm saying? Like, so, yeah, like, there are right and wrong ways to approach the subject, but I don't think they're the asshole for being concerned about the well-being of their family.
Not at all. Yeah, I think it just really just comes down to how you bring it up. And what, like, I agree with you, Trey, 100%, and that, like, that discussion has to happen with the parent, right? That can't happen with the kid. The kid's 7 years old, right? Like, I don't even remember what I was doing at 7 years old. I wasn't 130 pounds, but I don't remember what I was doing, right? So, like, it's just, like, you got to have that conversation with the parent. And to your point, I hear you when you say, like, I hate what that represents and I hate what the parents are doing to that child, right? Like, that low-key, it's kind of child abuse, a little bit.
Low-key, yeah.
High-key.
Yeah, let's talk about it, yeah.
Eat more of those caramels.
And we arrest them in the McDonald's drive-thru if you have to. Yeah. Whatever you gotta
do. Get in the car now.
But, I mean, it is very important to maintain a healthy lifestyle and to teach kids how to have their own, you know, take control of their health moving forward. And weight doesn't determine somebody's health.
For sure.
That's not directly related, but if you're 130 pounds at 7 years old.
Something's up.
Something to be said.
You're going to the league.
Or you're going to the league, or you're Michael Orr. Yeah. This is off topic, but I'm thinking about when I was 7 years old and, like,
okay.
I was either outside or, like, watching TV. Like, what were your favorite, like, shows growing up? Like,
the shows growing up, man.
Were you, like, a Nickelodeon person or a Disney Channel or a Cartoon Network? Like,
oh, my parents.
CBS? Don't tell me you're PBS.
Yes.
No.
What's that like?
I had cyberspace after school at 3:30 p.m. Cyberspace, yeah, my shit. Arthur.
Do you cyberspace and Arthur?
You're getting bullied.
Cyberspace and Arthur. What else you need for real?
Zaboomafoo was crazy.
I cried real tears. I poured them out for the big homie. He taught me too much. But I was on that people. When I got a little bit older, we got cable. I was a little late to the game, so my dad hated SpongeBob. He just thought the voice was annoying. So I was big on Fairly Odd Parents and Jimmy Neutron. Those are my two. And then Ben 10 and Teen Titans Go.
Got you. Okay, cool.
Okay, so good to know JD had decent taste in TV shows growing up.
Listen, I did what I could.
Critically acclaimed.
Critically acclaimed. Ben 10. Yeah.
100%.
Benjamin 10.
Winning the Oscar. Or should I do the next one?
Go for it.
Or the next one? Okay. I'm 25 and my boyfriend is 31. I've had my dog for 4 years. I love him dearly and he is a good boy. I really bonded with him. Issue is, my boyfriend is one of those guys that doesn't like pets.
He's also one of those guys.
A monster.
So maybe
when I was like, he's not breaking this. They're wrong.
I already don't like him.
Okay, since we've been dating for nearly 3 years, we finally started speaking about moving in together. We decided it would be better for me to move in with him as he owns a nice house and I'm in an apartment at the moment. Everything was fine and dandy until we brought up a set of rules, and in it, it mentioned that he does not want the dog coming with me. I asked why, and he said he doesn't like dogs and that they're too noisy and smelly. I didn't put up much of a fight and said I will not be moved. Oh, sorry. I did put up a fight and I said I will not be moving in with him unless my dog is allowed to come. Am I the asshole if I don't compromise?
No.
I don't think so either.
That was easy. First of all, I'm doing the math in my head, bro. She said she 24.
25.
Boyfriend. So she was like 20, 22 when they started dating.
Yeah.
Fresh out of college dating a 29-year-old? I don't know.
Not a beep, boop, beep.
I don't care for it, certainly. So it's like, man, like that's your, like, he doesn't get it because he doesn't have a dog, right? Like, he doesn't have pets. That attachment's real.
Somebody doesn't like dogs, though.
Huh?
How are you dating somebody that doesn't like dogs, though?
For, yeah, serial killer alert number one.
Yeah, thank you. That's a red flag.
Super red flag.
Reddish flag. Yeah.
I'm a cat person myself, but I still think that's a red flag. That's a spicy take. People don't like that one.
Person, do you have a cat there?
I do not have a cat here. I'm looking for one, low key. I'm taking on the stepfather role to a cat.
I'm a godparent.
I just pull through with the catnip and shit like that. That cat loves
me. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, but I don't have a cat personally, but I mean, I don't think you're the asshole for not willing to compromise on a pet. I feel like you got to dump his ass, for real.
Yeah, I mean, you got to think about what that sets, like, precedent for in the future, down the line. If you're going to build a family with this man, mm-hmm. you're going to deprive your hypothetical children of
right.
a life filled with pets and love, laughter.
Things of the sort.
Yeah, things of that nature.
Couldn't be me. Also couldn't be me dating somebody 7 years younger than me. But that's
tweets their own.
Okay. I think we came to the consensus that no, you're not the asshole if you don't compromise.
Have I ever called somebody an asshole on this segment? I'm curious.
I don't know. Maybe.
I mean, you're stat.
Once, but man, I've been listening to you. I found y'all out like a couple weeks ago. I don't know how I missed out, but I went through all of them, like every single one.
That's what's
up. JD's a diehard fan.
Yeah.
When this shit drops on the first listen, don't
read it.
If you make us some merch, we'll promote the shit out of it.
I'm with it. I got designers out here. I got people.
Perfect.
Let's build.
Okay.
We're here to build. That's what we're here for.
Obviously, JD, we're not just a show that talks about bad advice or gives good advice, I guess, in some cases. We love talk sports. And so we know that you're a big Blazers fan. So let's talk a little bit about the Blazers. I specifically want to bring up Dame not being named an all-star starter. Are you upset?
Care to weigh in?
Yes. Yeah, so what are your thoughts?
You're telling me.
I'm so excited.
You can tell me that Damian Lillard loses his spot to Luka Doncic during Black History Month.
Some don't smell right, JD. Some don't smell right.
Already the shortest month of the year.
It's true.
You're right.
Quiet as it's kept.
Quiet as it's kept. There are only 28 days for us to celebrate. And you take one of those days and you ruin it by putting Luka Doncic over
Damian. 29 days. At best.
Best.
Yeah. Once
in 4 years. And this ain't even a leap year. Did us dirty, frankly.
Luka Doncic,
not as good a basketball player as Dame Lillard.
No.
No.
At anything. Like, not a single thing.
I mean, perhaps. But if Damian Lillard is 6'8", he's better than him at that, too.
Per capita, better rebounder.
Certainly.
Yeah, pound for pound. Yeah, no, that was crazy.
It ain't surprised me. It ain't surprised me because I know how SportsCenter loves Luka. Like, I get it. But, like,
they do.
Y'all, I know y'all listen to the Fun Report. I know y'all listen to Mixtape before, right? Big Trill guys. Big Trillies.
Are you in the Discord?
He's brought up so many times. Of course I'm in the chorus. What you mean?
You're in the chorus?
Of course. Yeah.
Wait a minute.
Huh?
Oh, wow. We got to talk about this later.
We'll talk court. I paused the Fun Report to answer the Zoom call, bro. I paused the Fun Report. I've been there since day one.
Fall out of my chair. I'm about to kiss you on the mat, KG. Yeah.
We gonna build. Listen, and side note, you know, segue. I'm not sure how y'all do that, but when I'm listening to y'all pods, I hear the little turns here and there, and I'm like, Trey's picking up on Trilly. Like,
I love it. Yeah.
I'm here for it 100%. You're building your own brand, but I love it. back to the
issue at hand.
Yeah, the issue at hand.
Yeah.
I mean, I get it. Like Luka has been the golden child since he came up. And like statistically he had a better year, and last year he was a starter. Like I get that argument, but like we're not gonna pretend that Damian Lillard is not as good as Luka Doncic. We're not gonna do that. Definitely not gonna pretend that Dame didn't deserve that spot. But politics is politics, and the game is the game. So we used to it.
Yeah, I suppose. Yeah, for me, it's because like they're winning games too. They're winning more games than Dallas.
18-11.
Averaging what, 30? Like
averaging 30.
Yeah, like I don't know what else you want the man to do.
And one argument I heard, man, one argument I heard was that that Luka doesn't have as much around him as Dame does. But yeah. CJ and Nurk been out for a month and a half.
Always.
Yeah.
So you're trying to you're gonna sit here and tell me that Gary Trent Jr., Derrick Jones Jr., and Enes Kanter are better than Porzingis, Seth Curry.
I'm trying to tell you.
Like that's what they're trying to tell me. Yeah. And Luka's still losing games. He's still under 500. Mm-hmm. And I know this all-star game is about who you are as a player, right? It's supposed to be. Mm-hmm. But Dame, the only reason we 18-11.
Yep.
Who doesn't want to see Dame and Steph Curry playing, like, potentially on the same team?
Yeah. Losers. People who don't like basketball.
Blind people. Blind. The blinds.
Yeah, I think there's this weird, like, we've been seeing it for a while, but, like, there's this over glorification of young stars, and it doesn't need to happen that way. Like Luka's my age, like he's gonna be great for years and years and years to come, so why are we like desperately pushing him this early? Like again, he's having a great year statistically, well a good year if you can't shoot.
Sure can't,
but but yeah, I just don't see like why you have to propel him up there when he's not there yet. Like he's still the betting favorite, I believe, for MVP, and it's like he's not. They're 14th in the West. Like, what are we talking about?
Okay, so should Dame be in the MVP conversation, in your opinion?
I think he should be.
Personally. Why not? You know, like,
I agree.
Is he the clear-cut MVP? No. Does his name deserve to be in the hat? Absolutely. I don't see how it couldn't be.
I feel like he should be in the top four.
When you're averaging 30 points a game, yeah, you should probably be in the discussion.
You should. People should be saying your name when they talk about MVP candidates, especially when you're taking – literally a bunch of 20-year-olds to 18-11 in the West. Like, Dame, real life, the reason why they're where they are. And to me, it's just weird that, I mean, people just don't like Portland, for real. But that, you know, I get that.
I'm starting to worry that, like, Dame, in, like, 30 years, might be one of those guys who doesn't get enough credit for what he's done, you know? Because, like, he, like, admittedly, I do think Steph Curry's a better basketball player. And whatever, but like Dame has separated himself from like a league where there's so many great guards, so many great high volume guards, but he's like solidified himself as that number two, you know what I mean? And like he's a killer, he always has been, but like I worried that like he's not going to get the recognition he deserves because of Portland, because of shit like this that we're seeing right now.
Right. Yeah.
It's kind of like the Clyde Drexler effect.
Yeah.
Like, it's like
Clyde, man. Clyde had it bad. Like, he had to play with Jordan. Like, that sucks.
But he's like clear, like, in his day, he's clear cut the second best at that position. It just happens to be that the first best is the best player of all time. So, what do you do? Right. And when it's all said and done, like, yeah, Curry's a better basketball player than Dame. I don't think there are a lot of people who disagree with that. I don't think me, as the Damian Lillard fan I am, I'm not going to say that. But I think Dame's comfortably number two. I don't think it's very close. I heard a lot of Dame Kyrie talk, and it's like, I don't know, I'm taking Dame 7 days a week and twice on Sundays.
Yeah.
like I just think he's a better basketball player.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree.
So, okay, JD, why do you think Portland, like sports, I guess, especially the Trailblazers, get so much hate?
That's a good question. I've thought a lot about this, man. I don't think people like the Northwest. Like, I feel like people really just don't like the Northwest. And that goes for pretty much everything. You said what?
It's a geographical war.
Kind of. So I'll give an example. Moving to D.C., right? Like, nobody out here knows where Seattle is. Real life. Like, that blew my mind. People don't understand that Seattle is in Washington. And when I say, oh, I'm going back to Washington, they're like, what part? It's like, no, like Washington State. Like, I'm going back to the West Side. And they're like, ah, that's not the West Side. They won't even be on the West Coast. And it's like wait, geographically, it is on the West Coast. But, like, people are like, no, West Coast, just Cali.
Just California, and that's it. LA? Ever heard of it, JD?
Yeah, it's Los Angeles and the Bay because of Steph. So, like, other than that, it's like nobody, people real life don't like the Northwest. And, like, for what it's worth, part of it, I think, is worth, like, valid. Like, like, I feel like there's an insane amount of basketball talent that comes out of Seattle. Like just hoopers that make their name in the league and everything like that. But once the Sonics left, like there wasn't much of a market for it in Seattle, and like the closest team was Portland. So I feel like a lot of people just support Portland because it's close by. But historically, man, like it's just not a very well respected, I'll say respected instead of liked. It's just not a very well respected region of the country. And that's just the way it goes.
So Dan's got to battle injuries, Luka Doncic, geographic bias,
geography.
Jesus Christ, yeah.
y'all think he's going to the Hall of Fame when it's done?
Yeah. He deserves it. That'd be a crime.
A lot of people say no.
People are wrong.
Most people's vote counts the same as yours, JD. You know, it's crazy. Yeah.
Hey, man, 60% of people think they score on a Harrison Barnes, too. So, hey, you know what? I saw some crazy shit on Twitter the other day, and I had to quote it. I had to throw it up. But and my friends came into my mentions acting as though they were basketball aficionados. But the tweet was, and I don't mean to take over y'all podcast, but
you're all good.
No, we love it. We love it.
It says you are offered $5 million.
Is this the Michael Jordan one?
The score against Michael Jordan. Yeah.
Prime Michael Jordan.
Prime Michael Jordan. Not 67-year-old Michael Jordan, mind you. No. Prime. 96 Jordan. You're given 10 chances. If you fail, you never hear music again. Let me read these replies to my tweet.
I'm so excited.
I said it blows my mind that there are people who think they're walking away with $5 million. It continues to. It's wild to me. Somebody replies to me, it blows my mind that you don't think I'm a try. That doesn't hit like you think it does.
No.
That tweet doesn't slap
like he was me. Like, this is gas, dog. Like,
all right, Drake.
It's 1,000 retweets minimum. No. And I said, you're never listening to music ever again. And that's what you're signing up for. Somebody said, $5 million for 10 chances? Hell yeah, I'm going to do it. I said, y'all so loud for how wrong you are. It's wild. It blows my mind. And I said, I'm going to play the hits around y'all, knowing damn well you can't hear a thing. Hopefully, fight some sort of violence. One of them responds, I'm going to have $5 million. Certainly not. Certainly not.
No, you're not hearing damage.
It's just, it's one of those things where it's like, I feel like people have this, because people watch the sport, because people love the sport, because people are obsessed with the sport, they see themselves as being it, and people idolize the sport. People think that they can do this, but like everybody in my mentions, none of them are scoring on Harrison Barnes.
No,
much less prime Michael Jordan, because Harrison Barnes isn't scoring on prime Michael Jordan. So if we just do a real quick, you know, analysis of the situation, if you're not scoring on Harrison Barnes, and Harrison Barnes not scoring on Jordan, how are you gonna
score on Josh Perkins? Like, what are we talking about, bro?
No,
like,
sorry. Nah.
No. No.
Josh Perkins beating us 10 times out of 10. Certainly. Yeah.
Depends.
He's a great basketball player, in my opinion, but he's a much better basketball player than any of us are, comfortably. Like, it's wild to me.
Well, which Josh Perkins do I have to go up against, though? Am I going up against the guy that's found in his car, or the one that's walking around CM?
Pack is loud.
That perk pack.
Oh, man.
That's crazy.
First of all, I'm getting dusted by both of them. I'm getting busted by DUI perk the same way I'm getting busted by
DUI. Sleep on the court. You're still missing.
I can't get the finger roll.
Bro, I'm busting my ankle trying to cross over a sleeping Josh Perkins. Like, that's just like, people don't understand how different this shit is on that, like, the levels to it.
There's levels to it.
I get it.
JD, who were some of your favorite Zags to watch?
Man, I saw this question. I was so excited to answer, because I'm going to give my roses to the one that doesn't receive the roses and who deserves the roses. And it was before y'all's time. Y'all probably don't even know who this is. But I broke it down. I got three.
Okay.
I got three. Number three, Corey Kispert. Edmonds boy. I'm an Edmonds boy. Grew up, I went to a couple of Kings games just because people invited me and saw him and knew that he was nice, right? But when I heard the news that he was coming to Gonzaga, I was still skeptical, as I felt like a lot of people were, because like being a Gonzaga basketball fan is heartbreak constantly. So it's like, he was the first person that I ever saw that was like, yo, he lived up to the hype like pretty comfortably, like much better basketball player than I think he gets credit for, and an all-around phenomenal human being as well. So Corey Kispert definitely makes my podium. Number two is a tough one. I went Brandon Clark, and I went Brandon Clark because he's big nice. like just a like really good basketball player.
His bounce is insane.
I love watching the Grizzlies. Like, give me one of them teal Vancouver throwbacks with Clark on the back.
For real.
Bro, right. If I was still in college, the amount of money I would have spent on that jersey just to pull up at parties with it.
Like 312 mission.
Certainly. Yeah, would have gotten active in a Vancouver Grizzlies Clark jersey. As a Portland Trailblazers fan, no less. But number one, Eric McClellan. Easy.
Eric McClellan. I like that.
Y'all don't know about Easy. Like, bro, my freshman year was his senior year. And I remember just being in the dorms, like, watching the games on my TV because I wasn't sitting out in the cold for no tickets because I'm not that pressed about it. That was always wild to me. I never even camped out or nothing. But watching just, like, the athleticism that he had and just the way that he played the game, I just had, like, a lot of respect for him. He was, like, my first favorite player. Like, when I got on campus, everybody was gassing Sabonis for good reason, mm-hmm. right? Everybody was gassing Wilshire for good reason. I think that was the first year that Perk was, like, the starting point guard. He was coming into his own. We had Silas. We had Silas was a dog, too.
I love Silas.
Silas was a dog. Underrated. Yeah. And then who else was on that team? Obviously, Rem. Oh, Shem. Shem was there. It was like a solid team, right? And yeah. there weren't a ton of expectations. It wasn't like, man, these dudes got it like that, right? But still a very solid team. And part of me was like, I want to be different. Like, I want to pick the same favorite player that everybody else did. But then part of it was just like, I fell in love with the way that he played the game. And so Eric McClellan, I think forever will be like my favorite Zag. My first favorite Zag, and it just carries on.
That was the year that they had to play St. Mary's in the WCC championship, right? To like get in,
right? I remember it being like a talk, like they wouldn't get in or something. Yeah. Like that. But they were ranked. I thought. You got Google. What was it? 2014, 2015? No, 2015.
Right.
I remember it being like it was definitely the determined seeding for sure. I don't know. They went 28-8, 15-3 in the SEC or in the WCC. And St. Mary's wasn't great that year. It might have been BYU.
Mm.
But oh wait, hold on. That's this year. What the hell? St. Mary's not good this year. We know that.
No, they're not. No, they're not.
Have you been watching the Zags a lot this year, JD?
Man, I haven't been watching them as much as I'd like to. I don't have cable out here. And the games, like a lot of the games started like 11 p.m. out here.
Oh, yeah.
Time difference. So, like, if I catch one of the earlier ones, I'll be like following along on ESPN. Sometimes I'll pull up a stream, but it's also weird being like so removed from not only Spokane, but like from, or not only from Gonzaga, but like from Spokane and from the West Side, where it's like, it's just not something that I've been able to keep as big a part of my life as I did when I was at Gonzaga. And like, truth be told, I probably wasn't the biggest Gonzaga fan, like basketball fan, while I was there. Like, I've always been an Oregon Ducks guy. So like, it was like I go to Gonzaga, like I rock with the team or whatever, but like, I've been a Ducks fan my whole life. So it was just like something I paid attention to more. Yeah. But so I haven't caught as much as I'd like to. That boy Suggs, he a dog.
He's good.
That boy Suggs is the dog.
Trey and I just talk about how good he is like every time he plays, basically. Yeah. We just excited.
Very good at basketball.
Yeah, it's gotten bad because, like, I watch the games and I'm just Like, I really want him to be, like, the first really cool, like, Zag to play in the NBA, you know? And, like, so I'm watching these games. I'm just like, watching him, though. That's all I'm doing is, like, how's he around that cut? Like, how's he where's his hands out on defense? Like, all that
stuff. Trey's a scout is what he's trying to say. Yeah.
It's really consumed how I watch basketball. It's not great. But
I mean, he a lottery pick, no question, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He's probably top five.
Corey might be a lottery pick.
I love it. Give me a throwback Charlotte jersey with Kispert on the back.
100%.
That'd be fire.
LaMelo and Corey Kispert, pretty good.
We talk about jerseys, I'd pay obscene amounts of money for.
Oh, yeah.
Let's talk about it, you know? Like, but, hey, fuck it. Let Portland trade up for him.
My thing is, like, why, if you're a contender or like you're at all close, like, why wouldn't you?
A 3D guy?
Yeah, like a legit shooter. Like, there's not enough of them, so.
Yeah. I don't hate it. Keep him on the West Coast. We have a history of trading up into the lottery for white players out of Gonzaga, so perfect sense to me.
What are your thoughts on Zach Collins, JD? Say something nice or not?
So his rookie year, man, I hated him. I really did, because I looked at all the players that we could have taken instead of him, all the players that we after him. I looked at dudes like Dylan Brooks, obviously, because I'm a Ducks fan, but like, Dylan Brooks is a better basketball player than Zach Collins, right? Like, it's just like, and he was second round. So it's just like, there were so many people taken after him that were so much better than him. And a lot of it isn't his fault, right? But his rookie season, I have a group chat with my brother and a couple of my cousins that are all huge Blazers fans, right? And I had a daily counter where I copied and pasted the message after every single Blazers game. He didn't score till his like 45th game. So I had a daily count. I'd say, good morning, beautiful people. I would like to let you all know that you have scored the same amount of points in the National Basketball Association as Zach Collins has. And it went on for far too long. Yeah. So it's one of those things where it's like, healthy as hell. His rookie year, I thought he was bad. Sophomore year, I thought he got better. Third year, I think he proved that he could be solid in this league. And then injuries got a hold of him. So it's like I got a mixed bag on Zach, but I wish him the best wherever he ends up, because Lord knows we're not taking him again. So,
yeah. Okay. So if the Blazers could make a big splash, right? They sign a free agent. Who would you want?
Yeah, I was gonna ask, like, if you or you're now Mr. Blazer, like, you run the team. Like, what are your moves to get that team?
What's getting you over the top?
Yeah.
First off, this can't happen because the trade already happened. I'm giving CJ and whatever they want for Jrue. I'm getting Jrue Holiday, 100%.
Okay.
Because he's a dog on defense, and we need that. I was in the back of my mind, I was like, yo, if we get Kawhi Leonard, I'm losing my shit, right? Obviously, that can't happen no more either.
Yeah.
But as far as dudes that are free agents coming up, they're trying to move Andre Drummond, right?
Yeah.
Give me Andre Drummond.
I like it.
Okay.
Give me Andre Drummond because Gary Trent Jr., a dog, who likes to shoot the ball and does it very well.
I like Gary Trent Jr. I think he's good.
I think he's phenomenal. I think he's going to be great. I think he just needs to unlock that next step. I think he's very good. So I like Dan. I'm not high on CJ, man. I'll say it.
Before the season, I was, because JMO is as a homer as it gets with his expectations in Portland. But yes. I told him, like, if I was Mr. Blazer, I'm trading him for Middleton straight up. I think that helps
both. That was absolutely another one. And but that's not going to go straight up, because Milwaukee doesn't say yes. Because that's the thing, is like, people too high on CJ, like, everywhere. But the NBA is too low on CJ. So it's like, he's an interesting point where he's better than the NBA says he is, but he is not as good as fans think he is.
Yeah.
So
that's a good way to sum that up.
That's just the way he is. And it's like, Middleton was the other one that I had in mind before the season started. Was like, yo, just give me CJ, like CJ and two firsts. I don't care. Lord knows we can't draft. We drafted Zach Collins. Like, we drafted Greg Oden over Kevin Durant. Like, let's stop playing ourselves. You know what I'm saying?
That's the worst one.
Know thyself.
Taking the history of the NBA, period. And you know what? The only other argument, bro, the only other argument for the worst pick in NBA history
is your guys's?
It's Sam Bowie. Yeah. Oh, like, take your pick, bro.
This is a weird argument, but I think that the Greg Oden KD one was worse. Like, wait, it's just like Kevin Durant was so good in college. Like, he was 7 foot and did not miss shots. Like,
yeah, he's always been a freak.
Yeah.
He's always been Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
And to be fair, like, the other reason why is because Sam Bowie, what a, I don't care. He was decent enough.
I call him.
Yeah, exactly. But he was good enough. Like, he did what he needed to do for a while. Whereas Greg Oden, slick, just didn't. Like, he just never
slick.
So it's like, with the Sam Bowie case, it's like, okay, but, like, we got a dude who did what he needed to do. He just wasn't Michael fucking Jordan. Whereas this one was like, oh, like, he didn't do anything. Yeah. Like, he just didn't do anything. So, yeah. I mean, give me Chris Middleton. I like that. Give me Chris Middleton for CJ and 2 firsts.
Keep the change.
Keep it.
Are we ready to do the podium? You got more questions?
What's your stance on LeBron? I don't feel like we've had enough of LeBron conversations, you and I. Your thoughts?
I love LeBron James. Let me go on the record first and foremost and say that I love LeBron James. I love him as a father. I love him as what he means to Black Lives Matter and the movement. I love who he is as an activist, and I love watching him play basketball. My least favorite people on this planet are LeBron stans. So it's like very difficult for me, like, to appreciate what he does while listening to all, like, the nonsense that people have to say in support of him, which, to his credit, is none of his fault.
Yeah.
I don't like comparing the GOATs. It's not something that I like to do with basketball. It's not something I like to do with soccer. It's not something I like to do with football. To me, Kobe Bryant will forever be the greatest player of all time because of what he meant to me. Like, I'm looking at Nash's face. Nash looked over with the swiftness. And I get it. Like, but to me personally, like, when you're like, who's the greatest basketball of all time? It's Kobe. Like, to me, it's Kobe because of what he meant to me. On the stat sheet, maybe not, but, like, I saw him do shit that I'd never seen anybody else do. And to that point, I get why people hold Jordan so high, right? Because to them, to the people who were watching Jordan growing up, like I was watching Kobe, they had never seen anything like that before, right? So I don't like comparing the, oh, 6 rings versus 4, the you know, never losing in the finals to the, what is he, 4-6 now or something like that? 4-6. Mm-hmm. It's like, I don't like doing all that because I just like watching greatness.
Sure. And
I will always love LeBron James. That'll be well documented forever. But I don't like listening to what the super stands and the couch analysts have to say about Jordan versus LeBron.
That was way too level headed of a take. That was beautiful.
I wanted some anger out of you or something.
I'll give you anger. I'll say it. I think people who go crazy on Twitter talking about how great LeBron James is, I think those takes are silly. I don't much care for them. That's my, how get angry at that, Nash.
I even had to give it up to you for the Kobe argument. That made sense.
I got him on my arm, bro. Like, I got Kobe on my arm. Like, he meant everything to me as a basketball fan. And, like, it'll always be Kobe to me, but I get that people need something to talk about, so they talk about Bron versus Jordan. I think Bron's a better human being than Michael Jordan. I think that's well documented.
Yeah. I don't think there's any argument on that one.
Yeah, I think there is something to be said for never losing on the biggest stage.
100%.
I think he was playing against some plumbers, for sure.
I saw it.
I also think LeBron played against some pretty weak-ass competition in the finals and got smacked. So it's like, I think every dog has their day. And if we judge people by the worst and not the best, who knows what the outcome is.
That's just Twitter.
It's a lot of Twitter fingers out here, bro. Yeah. It's really hard not to get mad sometimes.
I learned you just can't go onto Twitter and expect anything positive to come out of it. You know what I mean?
I had it off my phone for so long because of, like, it was just mentally draining to see people that the educational system failed so heavily.
You're like, I need to do something.
The reason I go to work in the morning, because the day my dog, I'm going to be mad as shit.
Yeah, you go ahead and educate some folks so they don't turn out to talk online, like they can score Michael Jordan.
So they don't end up LeBron stands.
Yeah, that's fine.
It's just Trey. They're all Trey, actually.
I got like 65 accounts.
Exactly. LeBron number 5. LeBron number 6.
Yeah, we can get in that podium, though.
All right. So, JD, we do the podium. You love the podium.
I love it today.
Today's category is sports movie characters. This was Trey's idea, so you're going to go first, Trey will go second, and I'll go third.
Sports movie characters.
Yes, sir.
How many do we get?
You get 3 to make the podium.
That's wild. That's wild. I thought we were doing sports movies, and I had my mind right, you know? I need to look it up, because I'm not even going to ask what their name is, because that's going to mean that I was disrespecting them.
Okay.
Can't have it documented.
I watched this movie very, very recently for the very first time. I got so much shit for not having seen it. Give me Monica off of Love and Basketball.
It's a great pick. That's actually my favorite sports movie.
I hadn't seen it until about a month ago. A month ago, I saw it for the first time. I love. I love basketball.
Pretty good.
I love the University of Southern California.
Also good. Yeah. I like Quincy McCall. Pretty good.
Quincy was solid. He had the nice little part in his hair. He was a dog, too.
I like Omar Epps.
Love him. How could you not?
Okay. It's a good pick. My first pick. Get off my list, bro. This is where it gets tough.
Yeah.
I'm going with Willie Beeman from Any Given Sunday.
Okay.
Jimmy Fox's character.
Yep.
Very solid.
Are you a big Jimmy Fox fan?
I love Jimmy Fox.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I also will go down as the greatest entertainer of all time.
He's super talented, man.
He is, yeah. Solid. Crazy that he can sing.
Like really well.
Like just
very well. Yeah. Dropped an album even.
Yeah. Blame it on the juice.
I always do. Never goes by. Yeah, nice. He was speaking gospel. I was 13.
For my first pick, I'm going to go with Meggett, who is Nelly from The Longest Yard.
Yep.
Okay. He is very fun to watch in that movie, and he runs super fast. So he's a good character.
I legit believe that, like, Nelly.
That guy had good game. Yeah. Play a little bit.
Had, like, yeah. Heisman level.
I was like, wow, Nelly's so fast.
Yeah.
Cuts on a dime. And for my second pick, I'm going to say White Goodman, which is Ben Stiller's character from Dodgeball.
Okay. I've never seen Dodgeball.
Ever seen Dodgeball? JD, seen Dodgeball?
That's a classic. Yeah, I've seen it, of course.
Okay, perfect. Thank you. Somebody that gets it.
I hate Ben Stiller, though.
That's fine.
I also hate Ben Stiller. Absolutely hate Ben Stiller.
Why do I hate Ben Stiller, bro? I think it stemmed from, like, the museum movie.
Not the museum.
I couldn't get with that. Yeah, but yeah,
his pops was on Seinfeld.
Yeah,
that's right.
I didn't know that was his dad, and then he died, and it was like Father Ben Stiller. I was like, that makes sense. They have the same last name. They look alike.
they look alike. They sound alike.
Both white.
Yeah, almost like that's Ben Stiller in the future. But
my second pick is gonna be Jackie Moon from Semi Pro.
Oh, that's a good one.
Okay.
You want to talk about a talented, award-winning artist in that movie? Go for it.
Second pick.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Give me Timo Cruz, Coach Carter.
I
just want to play, Coach. I just want to play. He saw his homie get killed in front of his eyes, and the first thing he did was run to Coach's house to get a spot back on that team.
Coach
also, Carter. I did it for Halloween a couple of years ago, so that was funny too.
Okay, Coach Carter had that man run like 300,000 suicides.
10,000 push-ups, 10,000 suicides.
No, I just wouldn't have done it. I would have turned to the streets.
simply would have sold crack.
I will be outside if you need me.
you know how rappers be talking all the time about like it wasn't any option for me, like that would have been me. Like if any coach had been like, you can make it, but you got to do 10,000 suicides. It's like, I'm dropping a mixtape the next week about how there were no other options ever presented to me. I'm pretending like coach never said that.
I guess I will serve the fiends. Okay.
I suppose somebody has to.
All right, JD, what's your third pick? Your third and last pick.
Third pick. Give me Apollo Creed. Not Michael B. Give me Apollo off Rocky.
You want Carl Weathers?
Huh?
You want Carl Weathers?
Give me that because my thought process is Michael B's Creed directly related. You can't have one without the other. And, you know, give me Apollo Creed.
I like it. Okay. It's a pretty good pick.
My last pick is going to be Calvin Cambridge from Like Mike.
Oh, that's good.
Damn.
That's a good one.
Damn, I wish I thought of that.
That was cold, dog. Always has been cold.
Yeah. Cold from day one.
Yeah.
Okay, my last pick is Mr. Miyagi from The Karate Kid.
MVP.
Without him, that kid would have gotten his ass beat. Repeat.
I mean, he did get his ass beat.
He did, but then he did the ass beat. I mean,
he got his ass beat regardless. Mr. Miyagi only helped him.
Mm-hmm. That's fair.
Yeah. He's the reason he's alive.
All right, that sums up our podium. JD, it's been great to see you, brother. It's been great to talk to you.
Absolutely. It's the same on this end, if not more, man. I miss y'all. I hope that y'all are doing exactly what you need to be doing to get to where you need to want get to where you want to go. Jesus Christ, words hard as hell. but really do have a lot of love for you. Really have been looking forward to that podcast whenever it drops, and know that if you ever need anybody in DC, you got my number.
I appreciate you, boss.
Thank you, JD.
That's great. Thank you for taking the time.
Yes.
Yeah, I'll talk to you soon. And yeah, man.
Bye, buddy. Take care.
All right, y'all. Take it easy. Take it easy.
So, Trey, to sum up the show, like we said earlier, it was a good interview with JD. Any final thoughts? Anything to close? Anything to leave the people with?
I mean, we thanked him on air, but I want to thank him again.
Yes, thank you, JD. Thank you for being a supporter of the show. Thank you for being a good friend to the show.
Yep, I hope that the people enjoyed the interview. And yeah, hope they enjoyed what JD had to say. But yeah, any shout-outs this week?
Shout-outs. Shout-out to the people that are going to come kick it with us next weekend.
Ooh, our
shout-outs to our pals, yeah.
Yeah.
How about you? Any shout-outs?
Shout-out Aaron Cook for that dunk, actually. Shout-out Aaron Cook.
That was a pretty good dunk. I'll give him that.
Yeah, that's all I got.
All right. Well, Trey, who do we do it for?
We do it for Kobe.